The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 532. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
Adam Vail.
What's going on? Let's go, Knicks. That's it. We're going to help these horses beat those bitches down.
And... Adam's excited. And of course, Brian Manjoma.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
All right, guys, we're back with another one. Adam came in right on time. Perfect timing. But yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, we don't really have anything to talk about tonight. Nothing happened in gaming, man. Very boring week, you know, which is what I would have said if we were recording this last night. Woo! The floodgates opened this morning, bruh. We got shit to talk about. As you can see from the title of this episode, being an Xbox gamer just became more expensive, bruh.
Shit went up.
Oh, come on.
Like, yo, they sent me an email that was like, yo, you got to refinance. Yeah, they were like, we got to hook you up.
We got the emails.
You got to go to Wells Fargo. You got to set up some new account because they got to finance to pay for all this shit. They're like, yo, Game Pass, everything.
So, you know, in case you were living under a rock, you didn't hear, Xbox Series consoles as of right now are up to $100 more. And this holiday... And we told you guys this was going to happen. Some people doubted us, but we told you guys that as soon as Nintendo said we're going to start charging $80 for games, somebody's going to be like, hey, that sounds like a good idea. I think we'll do that too. Well, Xbox the first one. They said starting the holiday season, $80 games for Xbox first party exclusives, bruh.
The tea leaves were like slapping you in the face.
Right. No layaway plan, nothing. It was just like, yo, this is it. 80 plus tax.
Crazy, man. So, yeah, let's get into it, man. Manny, you were having some interesting thoughts before the show. You want to share some of that?
Well, I mean, the thing about if let's say for the sake of conversation, let's hate to get political, the U.S. government somehow figures out how to get all of this stuff. Obviously, they put these tariffs on, essentially get people, get the, you know, essentially threaten them with these tariffs to get people to different countries, you know, to get to the bargaining, using essentially the American people of bargaining. But let's say that something does come out of it. You know these motherfucking companies are not going to drop the prices back.
Of course not. Of course not.
They will not.
And I want to...
Unless they're losing sales. Unless, that's the only way I can see it.
Yeah.
Unless they're losing sales.
Tank.
And I'm glad you bring this up. Again, not to get political, but I do want to piggyback off of that because I was thinking about this too. Because obviously, you know, the tariffs are, you know, a factor in this, right? But I think it's also possible, tinfoil hat on, that companies are using this as an excuse. The tariffs are an excuse to raise prices. That basically, yeah. I'm sorry, and this may sound, you know, kind of liberal of me, but I'm just going to say it. These companies make way too much fucking money. You know, they post record profits. I find it very hard to believe that they can't, quote unquote, eat the cost. You know, I think that's bullshit. So I think they're like,
they can use it as a cover.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. They're I could be wrong, but in my opinion, I think they're using it as cover to raise prices because they've wanted to raise prices for a long time. You know,
but here's the thing. So then if it fails real quick, suckers, if it fails and doesn't work out, they were like, you know what? Hey, our hands were tied because of the tariffs. But you know what? We're going to back off. We're going to, like you just said, we'll eat the cost for now. Yeah, it wasn't our call. BS.
Yeah,
they're figuring, you know what? Let's see if we could push a little harder. And who knows? Maybe people buy into it and it becomes a norm.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, you notice they couched it by headlining it that saying we're adjusting due to markets, right? Mm-hmm. They're not saying the tariff word. Tariff is buried way later in that statement. So they have cover to say like, well, we adjusted based on what we thought was market conditions at the time, if their sales tank, like Adam said, they could always go, well, the conditions have changed and now we're going to lower prices, right? So they won't come out and say it because the tariff shift is fleeting. Like, trade war stuff can change in an instant, right? So there's no way you can hang your hat on that. And then how do you justify it if the prices go down? If the tariffs stop, right, then what happens? Then you look stupid. The people will be like, then why are the games still $80? Why is the console $100 bucks more? And you have no recourse. They're only really doing it, and I like that Thanks Nintendo was trending on Twitter today.
Nintendo started it.
Really? They started it, yeah. This is really because of them. They created the market conditions to allow all these other companies, and believe me, Sony will fall in line. Rockstar can't fucking wait. They charge you like $100 plus dollars for GTA 6.
EA
like,
can't wait either.
EA can't, they can't fucking wait. So we're this is just the beginning.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, hold on. Was somebody in the Discord, I think it was Dumeke, saying that he was listening to a podcast of some like industry analysts, and they were like, yeah, this is the moment companies have been waiting for. Like they were like, one of the analysts said like, yeah, this is what developers have been waiting for. Like something like this, you know? So yeah.
They get to test the waters. They get to test the waters on a higher margin then. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, but you know what? How many, there was a lot of things that went up after the whole thing with COVID and then the backup for products coming into the country, prices went up, scarcity, all that stuff. And then everyone's like, oh, it'll go back down once things get back to normal. No, they never did.
They never did.
Everything stayed up. I know this first thing, Manny, you know, it's the toys. Remember, the figures were like $20. Then they went 22. Yeah. Then they went up to 24. They're still up there. They never dropped.
Yeah, I want to read this real quick. Great observation here, a lot from Logic Wins. If tariffs were truly the source of these increases, why are digital games increasing? Yeah,
that's not even that's not the point.
That's great. That's a fantastic point, bro.
The whole thing with the tariffs is it's just an excuse. Like
it is.
So it doesn't really matter. Like it's both the tariffs' fault and not the tariffs' fault. Like the reason why these things are happening is because corporations are greedy. They want to get every last dollar from you, like Tony mentioned earlier. Whether the tariffs are at fault or not, it to me it doesn't even matter because they're going to use whatever excuse possible to apply this.
Yep. This would happen without tariffs.
It would have
happened without tariffs because Nintendo. Remember, we discussed this on Throwdown. Nintendo set those prices months before, like the election happened.
Yeah,
there was no way they would know there would be a trade war. They said this should be laid at their feet, and I'm glad people are doing it because they opened this door. It has nothing to do with tariffs. Like Carlos said, it's an excuse. Sorry, Tony.
Yeah, no. Keep going.
Yeah, they can add this to the reasoning, and they're gonna try to justify that argument with tariffs. But Nintendo opened this door, and they couldn't wait. Like if some smaller publisher tried this, it would bomb instantly. Nobody would follow along. It's because Nintendo did it. Right, jacked up their software prices. They jacked up their accessory prices. They already set the console price pretty damn high already. Then they had their we're gonna have discussions. We're gonna stop pre-orders, and then it looked dicey that they're gonna increase the price of the Switch too. And then they, we're not gonna do that, but the accessories will go up, right? Because they figured they probably shoot themselves in both feet if they did. So they didn't do it, but the price was still way above margin, and you know it's way above margin because you can look at the region locked version selling in Japan for about $120-$130 less than the base system here.
Yeah, it's like so $329 or something like that.
Exactly, and that has a profit markup on it, so you can then tell when they sell it to Europe and they sell it to us in Canada what the markup must be. I mean, that's a huge amount of margin. So you know, and now everybody's going to look at that, and everybody's going to follow suit. And we'll be talking in 2 weeks. What, that Sony does it? That who? You know, it's just going to follow along. They're just all going
to
do it.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off what Chris is saying, I mean, the source of these increases for the most part, not all of them, because you know, across different industries, there's different ramifications that wouldn't fit for the show, but. In terms of video games and you know, Microsoft and Nintendo, they want to get every last nickel from you, every last penny they can. Whether the tariffs are a good thing or not, that's not for this show. But regardless of whether, you know, and I talked about this, you know, years ago, what, during COVID, I said, they're going to use the COVID excuse. They got a built-in excuse and they're going to be using it for years. And what happened like 2 weeks ago, a developer, you said that their movie, or not a director,
the Borderlands fucking failed. Director. Yeah. The Borderlands director, bruh, fuck out of here. So, and Carlos, just to bring it back a little bit, the first company that we saw, okay, because we've never seen price hikes on tech, correct me if I'm wrong, we've never seen price hikes on technology where you didn't get some kind of upgrade for it. First time I remember seeing that, everybody's like, yo, what the fuck, was with the Oculus. Remember that shit during the COVID? They were like, oh, we, you know, because of the market conditions, we had to raise the price, you know? And then after that, other companies like, oh, let's do that too. Raising the price on a product that already exists for no reason. You know, so so basically, just to prove your point, that they were going to do this one way or another. You know, first we had COVID, now we got the fucking tariffs as an excuse. Let's be honest here.
And notice,
yeah, because they want to keep the fucking stock price up. You know,
they want to always give that you know, more money.
That goes to my other point. That's what I'm like. I don't believe you guys are hurting for money that you need to raise the prices. They're doing it because they know they have an excuse, you know?
You know, and this isn't just for gaming. I mean, we see this for everything out there, but they use a different word for it. They call it competitive pricing, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever you see these commercials for cars or furniture, hey, we got great sales at competitive prices. Like, what do you mean competitive?
Yeah.
It means whatever they're charging is what we're going to charge you. There you go. And I'm sure there's some pressure on that, too. So, look, let's say Microsoft didn't do any of this stuff. They got a new big game. I don't know what it is. Let's say Doom, for example. Let's say Doom. Doom's coming out, and then it's at the $70 price. And then Phil gets an interview, and they start talking about, like, hey, how come you didn't jump like Nintendo? I mean, they're saying their first party's worth $80. You're saying yours isn't worth $80? It brings that whole discussion. So then it's sort of like, coaching them, like pushing them, like, come on, man, you want to do it, you know, you want to do it. So then they just said, yeah, F it, let's just do it, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Game Pass.
I saw I'll talk about that in a bit, but I saw this one tweet. It's a good point. They were like, yo, imagine during this holiday season they bring down the price of the Xbox, like, oh, look at this great deal. But it's like, no, that's what it used to cost.
Yeah.
You know that's going to happen.
Bait and switch. We see it all the time. Bait and switch. They'll raise the price and then they lower it all for a limited time.
Yeah, for a limited time, you know, 20% off. It's like, but that was the original price. Yo, it's crazy what they're doing right now, man. You know? Rich, what are your thoughts, bro?
He loves it.
Yeah, actually, Rich, I want to know, are you happy that your Xbox is actually now worth more than it was before you bought it?
Going up in value.
Well, that's a great question. No, this is horrible news. First and foremost, let me say this. You know, when I saw the announcement this morning, my immediate reaction was laughter. I'm like, what the hell is Microsoft doing? Because the thing about it is that. Yeah, we made the comment that Nintendo started this with Mario Kart. But the thing is this, with that announcement they made today, okay, they want to raise the price of the hardware starting effective immediately. Okay, whatever. That whole thing about the $80 price for the games is starting with this upcoming holiday season.
Yeah.
And it applies to their first party lineup. Then I thought to myself, what the hell game do they have coming out in the first party lineup this holiday season? It's just so... And at least with Nintendo, when they announced this price point, you know the game exactly that this is attached to. It is Mario Kart. With Xbox, nothing. So they make this announcement knowing that they have a showcase next month in which you could have, when you really could have announced in terms of your lineup of what's coming out later this year and early next year, that's when you probably should have made that announcement regarding the games. But I think they just said, no, man, let's just announce everything now. The consoles are going up, the controllers are going up, everything, and the games too.
Oh, Rich, to answer your question, shout out to Dirty Death Dealer. You know what exclusive is coming? Xbox first party game, Call of Duty.
Oh, there you go. Actually, yeah, that's a phenomenal answer. I forgot about Call of Duty.
Wait, the next one coming up?
Yeah, it's an Xbox first party game.
But it's not coming soon. The next one would be Doom. I thought
We're talking about holiday season.
Yeah.
Call of Duty would be it, wouldn't it?
It'd be Call of Duty. Yeah. It would be Gears. Because
if it comes out this year,
if it comes out, I would assume that's when they push that out there. And if that's the only thing that can come to mind.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Brian, what are your thoughts, bro?
He loves it. Everybody loves it.
I'm not surprised. I mean, here in the UK, we're already on our second price increase of the PS5.
Yep.
So it only makes sense that Xbox would follow suit. But yeah, as Carl said and you said, it's just an excuse just to push up the prices because they need that money. They need all. So now the whole $100 GTA 6 thing seems a lot more credible.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. GTA 6 will cost $100. Like, I'll be shocked, yeah. Brian, at this point if it isn't.
Do you want to put it in the accountability room?
We may have to. We may have to.
People need to, you know, if they're angry about this, use your wallet. That's the only way they listen. Talk with your wallet. Don't even bother buying it. Just let it go.
Yeah. Just let the sales happen because they eventually will happen.
Yep. Yep.
Don't buy.
And I like Nintendo.
Treat gaming like a hoopty or a used car, you know? Mm-hmm. Don't need to buy it right away. When it drops down in price, that's when you know?
Yeah.
Also, I have a question.
Yeah.
And this is very relevant. Who's buying an Xbox new these days?
No one, because their revenue went down by 6%. You know? No one's buying a fucking Xbox right now.
So, it just seems weird that they'd increase the price. It's like, no one's buying it, really, so what's the point? You know, like, if everything's an Xbox and you get Game Pass on everything, quote-unquote everything, then what's the point?
They're hoping for the flippers, you know, the scalpers, but I call them flippers at this point because they were like, oh, wait, I'll buy it now, you know, and then at least the stock that's out there, and then I'll jack up the price. That's the only thing I can think of. Like, try to beat the whole system. It's not going to work because, like you said, no one's buying this shit anyway.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
No, I'm just saying it's just odd. Like, I really would love to know what was, like, again, if it's something that's selling well, then, okay, I can understand that. You want to increase the profit, something is selling well, so you increase the price, fine. That makes some reasonable sense. But this thing's selling less than the last generation, so increase the price so that more people don't buy it? I don't know.
Yeah, very strange. Manny, what were you going to say?
No, if GameStop, smarter company, they could toast as a bolster. You know, what if they, you know, their whole market is selling games, used games. And what if they did those same tactics where they, in other words, as opposed to chopping off a, you know, literally just chopping off the extra $20 that, like, so in other words, pushing it back to other prices. They've done it before.
Yeah. Selling
console at their original pricing.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Well, that's going to happen this holiday. Oh, look at this great deal on a PlayStation. And that's the segue I wanted to go to because as predicted, the PlayStation ponies were having a field day making fun of the Xbox guys. But I'm like, you realize this is going to happen to you too, right? It's already happened in other places around the world, bro. It's going to happen here. We've been talking about this since 2022. They started jacking up prices, and we're just like, it's only a matter of time. And now they have their excuse. Oh, these tariffs. We don't know what's happening. Got to raise up the price. But in turn, they're like, yo, Xbox is doing it. Let's fucking go.
You know what? Maybe they're also seeing it in another way. So we already know that these games, unlike Nintendo, all these games eventually go on sale, right? There's some big sales and they drop. So if they were at 60 or 70, then they usually drop to like the 40 range. Sometimes 35 is the crazy one. But by raising the price the way they did, then that means when they put them on sale, it would just be back to the normal price. Normal.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's going to happen this Friday. Or
$60. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, $60, that's a deal. That wasn't last year. That was normal price. So, but maybe that's why they're doing it, because they figure, you know what? We still want to get top dollar. They know people wait for sales. Well, let's raise the price. And that way, that sale price was our top dollar before, and that'll still work for us as opposed to dropping it to like 30 and stuff. Man, we talked about it with the Guardians of the Galaxy game. That was an awesome game. A few months, though, nobody was buying it because of all the other stuff going on. And
Avengers.
Was $5. Yeah, Avengers ruined it for them.
Yep.
You know, so then it makes you know, it was like 3 months out and it was already like $35 on sale. That's sad. And I'm sure they took a big hit for that. Yeah. But in this kind of situation, this event, $60. No more $35. $60.
It's crazy. Oh, by the way, quick shout out to Dirty Death Dealer for gifting all those subs, man. Appreciate that. But yeah, man. Life. So yeah, it's gonna happen with PlayStation, absolutely. Not gonna happen with Ghost of Yotei because that game's already available for pre-sale, $70. But I think any newer games dropping, maybe this holiday season too, it'll happen. And circling back to what Chris, what you were saying, it's like, yeah, like this whole tariff situation is not locked in stone, right? It could change tomorrow. China could, blink and be like, okay, that's it, we're caving in. But the companies were like, yeah, well, we're keeping these fucking prices. It costs a lot to develop these games, you know? I'm telling you, man.
And other releases and things from other companies recently, it was like last week, Hasbro did some stuff and pre-orders, and they didn't jack up any of their prices. You know, so not all companies are jumping on this right away because, like you said, things can change.
Yeah.
And yeah, they know where this stuff is being manufactured. We all know it's over there. So it's like they could do it, but they're holding off because they don't. Something will work out. There will be some kind of deal, something. These two big countries have to work together. It's just the way it is. So it just sucks that here it is. You got Microsoft just saying, you know what? We'll be the first to really go all in on this. Put all the chips in. Here you go. No, we're not just raising the price of this. We're raising the price of the games and this, a T-shirt, a BB gun, everything. Everything's going up. Tic Tacs, whatever we sell is going up. It's a shame.
It's crazy, man. So check this out. Here's some of the prices. So the Xbox Series S, you know, digital one or the shitty one with a 512 gig SSD. Originally it was $299, right? Now it's $379. And then the big boy, the Xbox Series X, originally $499. Now it's $599, man.
Isn't that crazy?
$599, bro. So there it. And then the peripherals too. We didn't talk about that. Xbox peripherals are going up. You know, so like, let's see, the regular controllers, those are the same. So that's good. But like, there's a limited edition wireless controller.
Doom one that just dropped last week.
I'm sure that go up? Let me see. I don't see it here, but I think it did. I don't see it. It's a limited edition by any chance?
Yeah, it's a limited edition. Yeah, limited edition. It's on more Amazon expensive. Now.
You can see. $10 more.
See? There you go.
Yeah, the controller, the Xbox Elite controller, $20 more. Now it's $200. Bro, this is gaming right now, man. This is gaming right now. You know, I don't know, man. Like, yeah, don't buy games at launch. That's it. Just wait for sales, bro. Yeah, but like you said, Adam, even the sales is going to be normal price.
Yeah, that's what they're going to say. That's how they're going to get you.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Anyway, any more thoughts on this?
I do wonder how this is going to affect those prices on other platforms. So, for example, like Forza Horizon 6, will that also get a price increase? And also, eventually, Forza Horizon 6 or PS whatever, will that also be?
Man. Yeah. Again, they're probably like, you know, was licking their chops like, oh, man, we're going to charge so much money and these stupid gamers will buy it. You know they're thinking that, you know? And I'm even on my Twitter, bro, I saw some people going, well, it's just what we have to pay. Like, you know, you can just say no, right?
No, yeah, exactly.
But this is what happened last time. $70. Oh, well. That's it. $70 games. Everybody went along with it. Same shit's about to happen again, you know? Because the same people that are complaining, you know they're going to buy the fucking games anyway.
Yeah, but we talked about it. It didn't sell well. The $70 just really never caught on. It's still people waiting for sales. They're not selling record numbers like they used to. People are holding back on it. So I think 80, like again, remember they said their first party. Okay, that's first party. But what about all the other third party companies out there? We talked about like EA and Ubisoft and them. Can they even think about doing that and jumping up on 80?
We'll see. Especially like
Ubisoft, how they're doing. Ubisoft, all this stuff. Fuck,
they better not do that, you know?
They can't afford to do that. Nobody's buying that shit now. Yeah, we're going to jack it up and then they'll come.
Bro, how are you going to raise the price of a console no one's buying, man? That's the crazy part.
That's a shareholder thing. That's the way I see it. I was like, you know what? They're going to push for it. We'll do it for a little bit and show them. Like, yeah, no.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Rich.
One final comment to make. I just want to say, on behalf of the Throwdown, I cannot wait to hear Mr. Tony Polanco and Carlos Romero's review of Mario Kart on Nintendo Switch 2, where I will specifically ask you both, is this game worth $80? So I can't wait for that discussion. Yes.
There you go. Lucas Matthias here. The value of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate represents about 5% of the monthly amount of money a person gain, considering minimum wage per month in Brazil. This is ridiculously expensive. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to jack up the price of Game Pass as well, you know?
Well, they just recently did that, so they got to give it some time. They did that last year, remember? Then went to the whole Call of Duty, remember? When the Call of Duty launched this version.
That's right, they jacked it up, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Shit is crazy, man. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Some more bad news in the industry. Say goodbye to, effectively, they're not gone, but effectively you could kiss Polygon and Giant Bomb goodbye. So two different kind of situations here. So Polygon was sold to, what's the name of that? They got sold to this fucking content farm fucking company and shit, you know, like Comic Book News or whatever. They own that.
The thing is that same company bought DualShockers way back in the day.
Yeah, they also own The Gamer, you know?
They own The Gamer.
And so basically a bunch of Polygon people, they literally tweeted out this morning like, oh, I guess I don't have a job anymore. Like, they didn't fucking know. That's always the most fucked up shit, isn't it? You know, so they're basically going to be turned into a content farm site. Go ahead, Adam.
I was going to say, remember maybe 8 years ago, some of the members of Giant Bomb, because Giant Bomb got bought by another company, and then some of the founding guys left, and they started their own. I forgot what it was called. It had like a rocket ship taking off, some icon. They left because they knew. I think only one guy stayed. One of the OGs stayed on for it. But everybody else, they bounced. You know, so they said the writing was on the wall. They were being controlled. There's a lot of things they couldn't do, and paid things were to their liking. And like, it's time to go on their own. I'll look it up. I'll find it.
Yeah. Well, the thing, I mean, this is kind of know why this sort of happened. To be honest, it's been a slow death for Polygon. Remember back in the day, they used to be the bee's knees, right? Remember when that whole thing happened at Kotaku and all those guys got let go? That scandal with Hulk Hogan and what's his face?
Oh, Gawker Media. Yeah.
The Gawker Media shit, when that company got bought out, you know, because they pretty much oblivion.
Yeah, so because of the bullshit they pulled, yeah.
Those guys went on to Polygon, which was like, oh yeah, you know, everything's cool. You know, they had some pretty, you know, nice design in the beginning. It was all that sort of, but I feel like the thing that happened, the separation between the readers and the actual people writing them. So they went from being people that were like, you know, hey, we're one of you, to, you know, all of you out there are a bunch of assholes who play games. And this is why. There's only so long that people can stand that sort of, you know, clickbait article or writing, to where it becomes where people just say, you know what, we're not looking at it. And that's what got them position. They were probably making so little money off of their click, you know, their baity titles weren't enough to get people to get angry in their site. They got sold.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, because every time we reference Polygon here, it's always because they were writing some dumb nonsense. Let's just be honest here.
Because they were literally poking the bear, because that was the only thing that was getting them. Whereas before, it was some of the actual, you know, article writing that was actually people there, right?
Man, and then, the like you said, the arrogance of these fucking assholes. Like, again, I still remember... they were doing a preview of Guitar Hero, and the guy was like, oh, I don't care about these videos. I was at the, you know, I got invited to check out a preview, but I didn't care. So I went to go eat hors d'oeuvres while talking about Polynesian politics. I thought it was a joke. He actually said that, you know? It's like, bro.
It's like, who are you? What are you there to do? Yeah. And that's
cover the fucking game.
Well, there's also his editor. His editor shouldn't have even posted that. But like, you know what? You're right. You're fired. Go.
Yeah, the guy's like, I don't care about these, but I got flown out here. But I didn't care. I played a little bit. Then I went to go talk about politics. Like, bro, the fuck is, like, you have it. I'm channeling myself from 10 years ago when I ranted about this shit. You know, I'm like, you have a position that a lot of people would kill to have. And you're just like, whatever. I don't care about this stupid gaming stuff. You know? And again, yo, if you guys listen to this same fucking rant 10 years ago, shout out to you, man, because that same year, I got invited to a rock star, what a Guitar Hero, because they were reviving it, right? I got invited to an event at the PlayStation Theater, I think they call it now. It used to be the Nokia Theater. I don't know shit about Guitar Hero, but I did my fucking job, bro. Did my research, and I covered the game well, you know, despite me not knowing anything about Guitar Hero. All I knew was, like, if you know how to play real guitar, you're not going to know how to fucking play this game. But I wasn't shitting on it. I wasn't going, oh, I don't care about this. I'd rather go, you know, like, no, that's bullshit. You don't do that as a fucking reporter, man. You do your fucking job. You're there to cover that game. Cover it. People are interested, you know, but shit like that is why Polygon is now being sold off to the fucking content farm site. In the interest of fairness, I will say this. The only good thing that ever came out of Polygon was those really in-depth articles about, like, the making of those Capcom games back in the day. That was good stuff. Even though that wasn't one of their fucking writers. That wasn't one of their writers. The guy just wrote those articles at Polygon, but he's not one of their writers. Isn't that funny? The one thing that they did good was from somebody else. You know,
they also the Metal Gear one did a while ago too. They interviewed the guy, essentially the localizer for Metal Gear Solid, and pretty much said, "Oh, hey, yeah, you know, Kojima didn't like the fact that I didn't directly translate everything, so people pretty much had me fired from Konami."
Oh man,
deal.
All right, I found it. It was Nextcaster with Brad Shoemaker and the other dudes that were from it, the original crew of Giant Bomb.
Is that
that's
the name?
That's the other show that they left years ago. Once Giant Bomb got bought, they left and they started this one, Nextcaster.
I never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. I checked out. It's still going, so people still following it. So.
Yeah, so this is from Chris Plant, who was the editor-in-chief and not-so-nice guy, if I may say so myself. I'm no longer with Polygon. If you're hiring, please consider the many talented writers, quote-unquote, that worked here. Every one of them deserves a spot on your staff. I won't be talking more about the sale because I wasn't involved. Going to hang out with my kid, blah, 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 blah. So he wasn't even told about it. It just happened, you know? Yeah, a bunch of people here. Who's this from? Nicole Carpenter. I'll say more later, but I no longer have a job. I'm looking for work, and so are many of my colleagues. Okay, so that you saw that a lot. It's like, oh, I guess I don't have a job anymore, you know? But, you know, if their traffic was good, they wouldn't be in this position. Let's just be honest, you know? But it is what it is, man. What's up?
I have a slight disagreement.
Uh-oh.
The best thing that Polygon did to video games sites is their UI. I feel like they're the first gaming site that actually looked like like a good UI as opposed
They try to be more like a magazine, yeah.
Yeah, they really changed the aesthetic of what sites look.
That was the cool thing about it. I feel like their original formatting was the closest could ever have gotten a legitimate, like, video game magazine. You had articles that had unique artwork, you know, different, you know, all kinds of different things made, you know, content that's made specifically for their site. They had a cool thing going on. It's just the unfortunate is that they just turned into these fucking hoity-toity asshole.
Yeah.
Which I feel like that's not, you know, like, it's like once they got past the honey, hey man, we're for the gamers, all that other that shit, and then all of a sudden they got a little bit, you know, because their site, out of a lot of them, had like this crazy rise. Once they started, they just hit straight.
They had a bunch of rock stars, basically. I remember, Manny,
exactly.
That site launched the same year as STFU and Play, and we were all like, oh shit, that site's gonna be crazy, you know. And you're right. Initially, they were doing some good stuff. And yeah, they blew up. But, you know, then we started noticing some shit, especially the following year when we went to E3 and we tried to talk to some of these guys. And we were like, they were too good for us, if you remember that. You know, it's like, okay, Brian Crescente was the only one. Cool dude. Every time, you know, like he was always very like cordial and stuff, you know. But the other guys, you know, Yeah, no, yeah, man.
We saw them outside of the, and they just sort of like piss you off, like you just, yeah, you know, like piss off, like, you know,
yeah,
get out of my way.
Yeah, and then obviously, you know, the year after that, Gamergate blew up, and they were among one of the sites. I was like, fuck gamers. You don't need to write to gamers. Write to some modern audiences. I don't know. But they were just saying, gamers are dead. Don't write about them. Trash, bro. And now they're getting bought by Valnet of all sites, man. Valnet is not good, you know? I want to read this part. Ironically enough, this is also from Polygon. In a report earlier this year by The Wrap, many former contributors accused Valnet's current media holdings of being exploitative content mills. And here's a quote. In journalism, there are really bad jobs, and then there's a place like Valnet. Damn, son! It's one of the worst places that I've ever worked at, and it's probably one of the worst journalism publications I've ever seen. That is from a Collider contributor. Yeah, I mean, you see the sites that are under them, but just content farm bullshit, you know? Like DualShockers. DualShockers got fucked up by Valnet, you know? I can say that now because they got sold twice. Like, I can say what the fuck I want. You know, because obviously when the first site that bought DualShockers bought them, I was like, let me keep professionalism and stuff. But the second one, Valnet, I'm like, okay, yeah, the DualShockers. And they paid their writers shit, bro. Like $20 an article if they were lucky, you know? Like, it's not good. And that's why people kept, you know, they just kept going like a rotating, what's the name of that? I'm forgetting the phrase, but they were just coming in and out, in and out.
Revolving door.
Revolving door, yeah, of fucking writers. Arguably, let me read this. This is interesting. Arguably even more demoralizing is Vox Media decision to sell a lot of games website. Okay, yeah, they're just talking about how Vox just decided, because they're the ones that own Polygon, they just sold them without telling anybody, you know? But again, if you're not bringing in money, this is what happens. Sell you off for pennies, exactly, on the dollar, you know?
Exactly. The thing is, again, if you're there's only so long can insult your audience with, don't continue to accept what you're putting out there. People, you know, what gave birth to the rise of the gaming influence? It's an easy answer. It's because most of these publications started really ridiculing their audience.
Yeah. Look at this bullshit, man. Who wrote this nonsense? Vox Media's lack of respect for Polygon's reputation in games media. That reputation wasn't good. Not among gamers, you know?
Their reputation had already, the minute that they de-evolved to essentially mudslide.
Yeah.
So, again, like, you know, in the beginning, yeah, they were doing really good work. Everybody loved the stuff they're doing.
Yeah.
But the moment that they started to turn their nose up at the regular person, that's the moment that they lost, and that's the reason why they,
yeah,
because they couldn't make that money, and that's what's happening to a lot of these big companies. You know, these so-called gaming sites, because none of them can generate enough to keep people there. You got to realize when you make these sites, and you know, it's, you have to, you essentially are creating a, and that's how you get people come back. That's how support happens. I'll tell you this: Greg Miller saw it. You know,
yeah.
He used the reputation that he essentially that he earned from IGN, being the regular guy, you know, being the cool guy who did the stuff, and parlayed that into.
He did it. Remember with that first thing where he had it for a dollar? It was like he had his own private. It was a Patreon or something. It was just for a dollar. Just signed for a dollar, and he started seeing people were doing it. They were like, oh, if you do this, and let me start my own thing, and then yeah, he got kind of funny.
Yeah. It's you go from the grassroots. You started a piece of grassroots thing. Is, I think what happens a lot of times once they move out of that space, like, hey, you guys help build the, then you start to get too high on your horse. That's when people start to, and you see it that happens with influencers, right, where they're so big that they lose the audience.
Yeah. So this is what it says here. Giant Bomb Content is currently on hold while Fandom, the company that owns them, engages in a, quote, strategic reset and realignment of our media brands. That's what they told Kotaku. So right now, Dan Rickett, Rickert, and Rich's boy, Jeff Grubb, no longer with the company. They're out. Adam, what was so funny about Giant Bomb, they left GameSpot over that bullshit with Jeff Gerstmann.
Assassin's Creed.
And no, it was what's no, not Assassin's Creed. The
it was an Ubisoft game. It was an Ubisoft.
Why am I saying it was a co-op game?
Kane and Lynch.
Thank you, Kane and Lynch.
Oh, was it? Yeah, yeah.
And then, ironically, GameSpot fandom that owns GameSpot bought Giant Bomb.
Bought them.
It's crazy. You know, yeah. So
I used to listen to Giant Bomb all the time, and then they brought some of the guys from GameSpot, whatever show they had, and they brought them into Giant Bomb. And then it was around that time that some of the guys left and started their own thing. They're like, "Yeah, we're leaving.
Yeah,
we're done."
So yeah, like a bunch of guys that worked at Game Giant Bomb all tweeted, "We're not there anymore." So yeah, it's like this is like another sign that's like, you know, nobody trusts these gaming journalists anymore, and they brought it on themselves. This is something we've been talking about on this podcast for fucking years. I'm not surprised by this.
But also the landscape of everything has changed. Look, influencers, that wasn't a thing back then.
That's you know, all YouTube, it is now, yeah.
Yeah, that's all it is. Or Twitch and just people gaming, doing all that stuff. That's all new. That wasn't there before. It was, if you wanted that news, you either had to go to G4 TV and mark some horrible reviews, or you went online, you know, and then you found, or magazines and stuff like that. Then some websites, like we mentioned, IGN, all of them. There wasn't a lot of choices. And then when you... everything blows up on YouTube, and then when Twitch blew up, now you got all these other voices. Now people have options, and then that's eating away from all the traffic that was going to those sites.
Yeah, and that's also why a lot of those journalists shitted on those guys. Not without due cause. Again, you know, I have my problems with influencers because they're not accountable to anything. But I understand, like, if you're a gaming company, why would you want to have a gaming journalist that's going to shit on your game or even not bother playing it, or a paid shill? You're going to want the paid shill.
Yeah, and yeah, they're open about it. They're not hiding it.
They're not hiding it. Yeah.
We're going to play for 2 hours this game, and I'm going to say, I love it. Here we go.
That's it. Yeah, and you know, again, because you can't – I know some people accuse game journalists of that. They can't do that. If they were to take a bribe or something, they'd be fired. The company would be under scrutiny. With an influencer, it's just another day that ends in Y, you know? Yeah. Like it's, and then I think it was around 2017, 2018, this is when I started noticing the shift when it comes to media. Because when I first started in this industry, whenever I would go to events, I would always be asked what by the people in attendance – what publication do you write for, right? Around 2017, 2018, I started getting asked a different question. I started getting asked, what game do you stream, right? And I'm looking around like, I'm like, yo, there's full disclosure, I went to this Contra event. Manny was there, right? I was like, what, like five fucking journalists there, dude. Everybody else is an influencer. Hype as fuck for this shitty game. You know, so again, why would a company want a guy like me who's going to scrutinize, who's going to be honest, instead of these hype dudes like, this game's great. They flew me to Seattle. You know, thank you for the trip, Konami, but I'm not going to lie about your fucking game. You know, go ahead.
I have a reasoning to why you were asked a different question. You said originally you were asked like what publication
what website do I write for?
What website? Yeah. And you told him to shut the fuck up and play. So there's like, I'm not gonna ask him that again.
Yeah. Nah, man. I always didn't say the full name of it, you know. I was only a CFU play for like a year, you know. After that, you know, DualShockers, Coalition. When I said the Coalition, doors open, especially when I said, yeah, I work with Richard Bailey Jr. Richard Bailey, we love Richard Bailey Jr. I'm not being facetious. People told me that. Like, bro. You know, like, Rich, man, I'm telling you, I dropped your name when I was trying to get into that Sony event in like 2015. Woo, that happened real quick. Richard Bailey, give me a second. Girl goes behind the back. Talks. All right, you're in. It was great, you know. But yeah, man, sign of the times.
Fucking deal.
Shout out to Brett, you know. So yeah, changing. You know, and who's left? Like IGN, and even IGN. Like I still think there
are a lot of people left.
They're. But I think what's keeping them afloat is all the deals they have with all these other things. Like they're not just covering games; they're covering all this other shit. You know. But they're like one of the last ones around for the big, big guys, you know, like I remember, you know, cause your boy's been around for a while. When I first started in this industry, people would ask me, You know, how do I get into, you know, into game journalism? And I would just tell my journey, right? Start a blog, write some good stuff, then, you know, submit it to like an independent site, you know, that's been around, and, you know, learn some more, and then hopefully you'll keep leveling up until you get hired. That was my answer for the first like 5 or 6 years. You know what my answer has been for like last 5 years? I said, start a Twitch channel and pray to God. That's how you get into game journalism now. The websites are fucking dead, you know, for gaming. Dead.
That's why everyone has a YouTube now.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody has a YouTube. I say, yeah, start Twitch, go YouTube, and pray to whatever God you worship, you know, because you're probably not going to make it either. Actually, my real answer should be, how do I get into game journalism? Don't. That should be my fucking answer. Don't do it. You know, there's no, why do you think I left game journalism? I went to tech because there's no fucking money in game journalism. Bro, imagine if I would have got hired by one of these fucking websites, I'd be done, you know? Done. I remember during COVID, fucking Game Informer was hot, you know, looking for hire people, you know, and I was thinking about it, and you know, I kind of pulled back at the last minute, and look what happened to Game Informer. They went under. I know they came back, but it's so fucking unstable, you know? Barry Burton, please stream our mobile slop and share in the play to win waterfall of money. Who would say no? Yeah, that's what these influencers do, you know, peddling bullshit like what's that, Raid Shadow Legends or some bullshit? You know, it's tough out there, man. Yeah, World of Tanks, all that shit. Oh man. Rich, what are your thoughts on Giant Bomb and Polygon effectively, you know, they're not going away, but they're not going to be what they used to be.
Well, this is a slow burn before they are gone effectively. Mm. Yeah, it is unfortunate. I was a fan of Giant Bomb, you know, so I'm, you know, I definitely understand what that means. Polygon, like you mentioned when you were talking about, because I believe we all saw Polygon when it first started. And there was a lot of potential. Like you said, it looked good. There was a lot of potential for what they could cover on that website. And then I noticed that a lot of people started leaving the website and doing their own thing. So, yeah, this is just, I guess, the way things go business-wise. I believe it was last year was when there were a lot of other websites cut as well, right? Something having to do with Ziff Davis acquiring other gaming websites. So, I guess this is going to continue. Obviously, IGN, like you said, they are protected because they have a whole bunch of other things going on.
Also owned by Ziff Davis, ironically enough.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's definitely going to continue, unfortunately. I will say one thing, though. I'm glad that the coalition.com has never had any of these issues.
This is good.
You know. Yeah. Yeah. We operate on our own. So that's one benefit to having something that you can operate and no one is telling you what to do. So I like that.
You're not the boss of me.
Yeah, one of the one of the shining beacons in the dark of the gaming industry, the coalition, you know, real game journalism, no bullshit, you know.
Gotta put a new slogan at the bottom. It's like coalition outlasting everybody.
That's it.
We outlasting everybody.
Yeah, man, coalition's been around for a minute. You outlasted Polygon. Yep. You know. Shit is crazy, bro. All right, man. Let's move up. I was going to say we could talk about Xbox revenue. I guess we could quickly do that. They had their financials, the earnings report. Let me see if they do this. So gaming revenue grew 5%, up 6% CC. Chris, what does that mean? You should probably be doing this, not me.
What was it?
I'm talking about like Xbox's earnings. And they said, like, for example, gaming revenue grew 5%, and it says in parentheses, up 6% CC. I don't know what the CC stands for.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, we'll look it up later. Xbox content and services revenue grew, I'm guessing that's Game Pass, grew 8%. That's up 9%. Driven by growth in Game Pass, Call of Duty, and Minecraft. Xbox hardware revenue, down 6%. So, you know, games are selling, consoles are not. basically,
they're going to sell like hotcakes with this new price.
That's it. Like, I didn't want to buy that shit at three. Go ahead, Chris.
No, sorry. It stands for constant currency.
Okay.
So they do the percentage based on maybe the US dollar. So they don't have to worry about exchange rates across the market. But that's you don't need to say that if you're. If your report is in one currency. So it's kind of weird that they said that.
That is interesting.
But that's what stands for CC, constancy.
Constant currency. Yeah, I've never seen that one. Like, CC? Like in an email? What the fuck are you talking about? Oh, man. So, yeah, it's kind of the same story when last time we reported on this. Game sales up, consoles down. But yeah, Adam, like this was a joke I was going to make. Like, listen, man, I don't want to buy a console for $500. $600, I'll buy it now. Man.
Yeah,
I'll buy it. I mean,
this has to be the better console. Like, well,
it's more valuable.
I mean, it's we like see Bitcoin it with Gucci is going right?
It's like, you know, well, I mean, Carlos, the Xbox did that. Its value went up.
There you go.
Isn't that insane? Like, think about it. You know how people like erroneously say, you know, this console is an investment. No, it's not. It's not an investment. The value's not going to go up. It fucking did now.
my dumbass sold that shit last year.
Damn, Carlos, you could have been making money right now, bro.
I could have been making millions.
You know, fuck.
And millions.
And millions. Oh, man. Speaking about billions, Segway Kings. Expedition 33, man, has sold 1 million copies. Not 1 million players have played it. 1 million copies shipped, bro. Numbers. This is the shit I'm talking about. And again, like we talked about, this was a team of like 30 people. And I found this out today. The game apparently cost like $10 million to make.
Damn.
That's really good. This is a sign. To like think about it like this. You put this side by side with Assassin's Creed Shadows, a game that cost $200 million to develop. This shit looks more legit. You know, it looks more AAA.
Well, you know, the thing about it is if you're smart with you can definitely do these things. A 30 person team is capable, especially also not to mention they probably also did outsource things to different companies to essentially bolster what they do. Now, these are things that smaller companies can do to essentially maximize it. Again, granted, a five-year development cycle, but very smart design.
Yep.
Well, you know? I'll say two things. One, I hope they don't sell out.
Yeah.
Because the one thing that Microsoft and these other companies don't need is a small to mid-sized development studio making profits like this, because that completely blows away their narrative that they need more money and bigger budgets to bring AAA experience. That's the whole reason this last report, that's what they're saying, right? Oh, we need more money, right? Why do you need more money? These guys did it for way less money and still made a AAA experience, and it's selling well. So, you know, what's your excuse? They can't have that. So I'm worried that, you know, these guys are going to get an offer from someone, from Microsoft, from another studio, EA, to buy them out. I hope they don't sell out, because we need more guys like this. We need more AA, single. We need smaller studios making new experience and trying different. Like, so I really hope they don't.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, because like this is it's showing the industry that it can be done. You know, this is almost like, you know, the Godzilla Minus One situation. That movie was $15 million, man, you know, and it looked better than some Hollywood movies do now.
I mean, it's not like there wasn't any doubt that a company can do it. That's what Ninja Theory was going at it as too. That they were trying to essentially prove that they can make a AAA quality looking title, but at a middle A to low budget, but low budget cost.
Yeah, and look what happened with them. They sold out, unfortunately. You know,
they sold out, bought by Microsoft. But situation, that was what they were out to do.
Yeah, but yeah, hopefully these guys like keep your independence, guys. You're doing well. You're doing well so far. You know. Concord just needed another month. That fucking, you want to talk about slop, you know? So yeah, good on them. And people seem to really enjoy the game. Rich, I know you had nothing but praise for it. You want to give us an update on what you think of it?
Oh yeah. Well, let me just say this. I know our very good friend Carlos has also been playing this game. I unfortunately haven't had too much time to play it so far this week, because my schedule has been a little busy.
Uh-oh.
But I still stand by what I said, because obviously we're going into the weekend, so I'm sure I will be playing this a lot more this weekend, including some other stuff. But I still stand by what I said. The game is phenomenal. The music is phenomenal. Yeah, there's just a lot. There's a lot to say about the game, but it's, we'll definitely say more in the future. But I'm glad to see the studio was successful. Hopefully, like you guys said, they're not tempted to, if they receive some huge offer, they aren't tempted to accept that offer and they can continue doing what they're doing.
Yeah. Carlos, have you got any further in the game?
Yeah, I played a little bit last weekdays. Yeah, it's a great game, man. I'm really liking it. I feel like, this has a shot to, you know, maybe even surpass Monster Hunter Wilds.
Damn, it's like that. Crazy.
Yeah, whoa. It's really good.
That's high praise.
It's just really, everything about the game is solid. The story is good. The combat is great. The style is awesome. The graphics are good. Everything about the game has just been top notch. They even got little French names and stuff. So, you know, they pronounce them in French. Yeah, even in English. So, you know, keeping to the roots. I'm like maybe 4 or 5 hours in and can't wait to keep playing. I'm probably going to put in a boatload of hours this weekend. So can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Question for you. This or Metaphor?
Excuse me?
I still haven't played Metaphor. No, I never got to. Damn, it.
Carlos.
Yeah. Sorry, Brian. I'm disappointed in myself too. Don't worry. Yeah, I really wanted to get to it. I just never did. But you know, I will say this: I'm glad that I did get to Expedition 33.
Yeah, one thing.
And if anybody,
yeah, go ahead. Oh, somebody.
He said he needs to reboot. Okay. If anyone is a fan of turn-based RPGs, I really recommend the game.
Yeah, speaking about turn-based RPGs, yeah. Which I'll get to you in a bit. The miracle story here is Mr. Torrance Davis. He does not like turn-based at all, but he loves this game because he says it fixes the main problem he has with JRPGs. He says the pacing in this game is excellent, and it's keeping them engaged, you know? So that's kind of cool. So I guess it's a turn-based game for people who don't like turn-based, you know? So, Rich, what are your thoughts on that? And then you could say what you were going to say before.
Well, that is phenomenal to hear that because I know Torrance, you know, he likes, we do have some games we like, you know, we both really like Sifu a lot. So Knowing that he likes this game, okay, then I feel even more confident. Obviously, Carlos as well, because when I made the recommendation and I said, I think this is a game of the year contender, I was dead serious when I said that. So I'm glad that more people are enjoying the game so far. And to go to what I said the last time, yes, the way that they introduced that game, the starting point of that game, it really hooks you in and makes you want to play it because they set up so much with the opening prologue going into the actual game. And then when you get into the game itself, it's just, yeah, there's a lot there. So I'm looking forward, like Carlos said, I'm looking forward to spending a lot more time with it as well this weekend. But yeah, it is a phenomenal game. Definitely people should check out.
Yeah, Logic Win says he's currently enjoying Oblivion remastered. Expedition 33 is next. Cool.
Awesome.
There you go, man. So yeah, you know, shout out to the team, man. Great success. And speaking about success, we find out that Elden Ring has now surpassed 30 million sales, bro. That is crazy. Damn. You know, and then my question to you guys is, how much more will it sell when it comes to the Switch?
At least 5 million, I would guess.
Yeah, because remember, Witcher, even though that was a shitty port, sold very well on the Switch, you know? So I would expect, you know, if the game isn't $80, that it'll probably sell well. You know what they should do? Just sell this shit for like $40, man. It'll make bank, you know?
Push up those numbers.
Yeah, what's up, Rich?
So I have a question for you guys. For those of you that have been playing, you know, Elden Ring. So this, I believe, Night Rain is coming out this month, right? So
yes.
My question to you guys is, do you think that game is going to sell well? Since it's there's a lot that's different about this game compared to Elden
Ring. I don't think so, because it's way different. Like, if you're looking for the quintessential From Software experience, you're not getting it from this. You know, this is... So, yeah.
Because I think the main Souls game scratched the itch of, like, lore hunting and mm-hmm. deep story and all that stuff. But you also have the PvP in there. Like, they even put stuff in Elden Ring. You could go to the Colosseum, and all you can do is fight other people.
Yeah.
Like, if you want arena challenges, just do that. All Night Reign is that.
That's
so
it.
I don't... And then you can't even customize your character.
Nope.
Which is one other part of Elden Ring and the Souls games is, like, what Brett calls it Fashion Souls.
Fashion Souls. No Fashion Souls. Stuff.
No, they're just going to have prefabbed heroes, right? So I don't feel like that's going to go over well with...
No, it isn't. By the way, did anybody in here get to play it, the closed beta?
No.
I was the only one. So, yeah. Dude, okay, so basically, like, by the third, like, because basically the goal is, like, you know, get to the center of the world because everything's shrinking, kind of like Fortnite, to fight a boss, right? And I believe... there was like four bosses, and the bosses are just rehashes of like previous bosses from other Souls games. By the second run of this, I was already bored out of my mind, man. Like, there's no strategy involved. You go around, you kill a bunch of the stupid NPCs, you level up a little bit, you know, you get to choose some weapons, and then run to the middle and fight the boss. It's boring, bro. Like, if you're looking, and I think Dust Bloods is the same kind of deal. It's like, that's not giving you that.
Bloodborne.
Yeah. It's not gonna scratch that itch. So I don't think it's gonna sell that well. But it might. I don't think it's gonna sell well among Souls fans. But it might sell well with other people. But probably not. But we'll see. I think it's dropping next week. Wait, isn't that shit already supposed to be out? Or am I tripping? I thought the show was supposed to be out in April. It's actually May right now.
You talk about Night Reign?
Yeah, Night Reign, or is it May that's dropping?
May 31st.
Yeah, I think it's end of this month.
My dumb ass thought it was April 30th.
Remember, vacation.
Oh, yeah, that's right, vacation. That's right. Damn, you take a lot of vacations, Carlos. Fuck, you know? Did you just take one, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, that was March. This is May.
Yeah, I got every other month you got to take a vacation. But then again, maybe I shouldn't be talking shit because I'm the complete opposite of you, Carlos. I'm like, last time I took a vacation was December, and now it's the company-wide vacation. I just keep working, bro. I just keep working, you know?
It's good to take a vacation and go somewhere just to unwind. Like, I went to Florida with the kids.
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't want to. It's just, like, there's too much shit to do. I can't leave it behind, you know? It's always stuff, you know? But
always will be.
They're always, yeah, but, you know, it is what it is, man. All right, so there's that, and then the... Oh, Adam, last story of the night. I brought this one in here for you.
Oh, no, not Titanfall.
Yeah, Titanfall, bro.
Yeah.
Remember
I messaged you, Adam? I was excited.
I know. I'm not. I was sad, but then I wasn't surprised because Titanfall has been on the back burner for EA forever. I mean, they could have added it into that other game that they have, Apex Legends. Remember, for a long time, that was a rumor. Oh, there's a reason why there's no Titanfall 3 is because Apex is doing so great. That's Respawn. And they're going to add the Titans. The Titans are going to show up. That never happened.
Never did.
Never happened. And it's like, yeah, they want to do the Titanfall 3, but I think it's more of like a pressure thing. And they're like, we'll do something low, but whatever, just to appease that small crowd base that keeps hounding us for it. Sort of like the Skate situation. You know, it's like, are we getting another Skate game? A free-to-play version, you know, but we're not getting an official type of version. So it's sad, but then I'm not surprised. The only thing I can hope for, which I guess I can't anymore because who would buy it, but if they would sell that IP, not the whole studio.
Yeah, Respawn, just the IP.
It's like, yo, you're not doing anything with it. Let somebody else do some. Let Microsoft, because remember the first Titanfall, that was an exclusive. On Xbox, that was the whole thing, and that did pretty well. And still, Titanfall 2 is still kicking ass. If you go on Steam, the servers are still up. People
Torrance
still
plays it every night, man.
There you go. He plays it every night. So I don't get it. It's just money, or I don't know how much it would cost to work on something like that. Or hell, just pull a Nintendo and just keep adding content to an old. No. What?
No, I'll be honest. I just read the headline. I didn't read deeper into this. Do you know what kind of game this is supposed to be?
Yes, totally found out.
I just. Do you know, Adam?
Was it free to play?
No, it was supposed to be an extraction shooter.
Oh no, I didn't know they were going to go in that route.
Oh,
I thought they were just going to go the route of the free to play model.
Maybe it's a good thing. It was canceled. Fuck.
Yeah.
You know.
No, no.
No, no, we're not talking about Lucha Underground, Barry.
Oh, I miss Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground for life. Well, bring them back.
Lucha, Lucha Underground is now on
and MLW. MLW went back to that arena, Aztec Arena. I think it's this weekend or maybe last weekend. I know they either going back or they already went back to the Azteca. So that should be cool.
Yeah. I'll read just real quick. So EA has laid off between 300 and 400 people, including 100 at a Respawn, and the cancellation of an unannounced Titanfall game. So, again, keep canceling them. Okay, so the canned Titanfall game, codenamed R7, was reportedly an extraction shooter set in the Mech Meets Parkour franchise. Bloomberg, the guys who reported it, said that it wasn't close to release, and Respawn's statement that it canceled, it was too early incubation projects. All right. But yeah, so I think we dodged a bullet here, guys. Because if they just made it some bullshit extraction shooter, fuck that, you know? But it's sad. It's like, why can't you just give people Titanfall 3, you know?
Well, that is a phenomenal question, Tony.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with Titanfall 3, but hey, look at the bright side. You guys will get more Star Wars games. Such as another Star Wars Jedi game, and the game they just announced, I think it was last weekend at Star Wars Celebration. There you go.
The hell will they celebrate? That franchise is done, you know?
They milked it dry.
They did. But here's the interesting thing. You know what? I was about to go off on a tangent. Let's not do this. It's a video game podcast. Yeah, so very upsetting news. Obviously, not good that people got laid off as well. The bleeding continues. Not as many people are getting laid off this year, because last year was just massive, but it's still not good. Still hundreds and hundreds of people getting laid off in the industry, man. Not a good time. Not a good time for gaming, you know? And that's all I got, man. That's all that happened this week. Obviously, the big one was the Xbox prices, and it's going to continue, you know? So let's go around the horns. This one's got a little bit of time. Talk about what games we've been playing lately. And I know, Rich, for you and I, it's a little bit of a rocky thing, but we'll try. Oh, man. Adam, what have you been playing lately?
Still playing The Last of Us on Steam Deck. Last of Us 2 Remastered. Like, just getting ready for Doom. That's the big one. I'm excited for that. But, yeah, I haven't been able to play much. Just doing all this other stuff, you know, with the site and the channel and all that. It's taken up a lot of time, you know. Also, Rich and I, you know, I mean, it's not a plug thing, but just we're busy doing stuff for The Walking Dead, you know, Dead City. So we're creating content for that, getting hyped. That comes back this week. So just been busy. So when it comes to games, the only one that I've been playing besides FC, I never count FC because that's a forever game for me. That's always, doesn't matter what I'm playing. But just The Last of Us, I'm really enjoying that. I remember enjoying that game when I played it on the PlayStation. And now I'm doing halfway through Abby, and I'm not thrilled by it, but I like the gameplay. That's my whole thing is always the mechanics, the gameplay. I love that whole system, the crafting. It's there, but not so much in your face, forcing you to do stuff like it was with Days Gone. You know, it's just a fun. I love that world. I know a lot of people aren't into the doom and gloom, but I could live in that all day, every day. They can keep making a bunch of them, but they don't have to do Ellie. Throw other protagonists. I don't care. Just throw me back in there. I just love it. So that's what I'm doing, playing that. And then after that, then I'll jump into some other backlog. Because there you go, people. If you're pissed about all these, the prices are too damn high, then go through your backlog. We all have them. You know, a friend of mine just also sent me Dredge. And that was one that was always on my wish list, but I never bothered with it. That's the boat game. You know, with like sea creatures and monsters or something like that. Always heard good things about it, never bothered. So that's the next one. You know, so just clear up the backlog. Just go play some stuff.
Cool. Manny, how are you doing with Indiana Jones?
I am a chapter. I'm getting pretty close. I did all clearing up. Doing pretty good. You know, it's fun. It's a fun game. I was in a small way. I was just got it because in that later chapter, instead of walk around fully, you have to go in a boat. And I was having flashbacks from Resident Evil 5. Where you have to go with that stupid lake.
Oh, you got to go from point to point.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But like as I got more, actually. But yeah, so far, you know, it definitely looks like I'm going to be able to. I just have a few more. I have to admit, like a few more combat trophies. But yeah, and to get the ancient what do they call it, the ancient artifacts and stuff like that. And the game is very good about like. giving you the ability to clean up. In fact, you can actually backtrack in the game too. You can go back to locations, and it has a little bit of a Metroidvania-ishness to it, where there's certain things you'll find in some of the levels that you can't actually get to until later on. So, you know, and then like also like once they sort of set you loose in a level, they rarely tell you you can't do it. So, you know, if you're good, you find like the different, because Indy can wear a bunch of disguises and all kinds of stuff. So you can make yourself like you can essentially make just getting through levels like easy as hell, because
Did you find the magic hat? Did you find the hat?
Well, he has the revival hat.
Well, the revival hat, the magic hat that if you get knocked down, if you crawl and pick up the hat, you get
second life. Oh, yeah, you get
a second life. You can get that, like two upgrades for that. There's the cooldown is actually a little faster. You can have
it. I got to look for that one.
Yeah, it's like a little book that, but yeah, like I have that. I have most of, like, right now, I just need the final findos, buy the last bit of stuff, some combat trophies, and I think after this, I hear it's so it's good. Definitely a cool game. I have to give it to those machine games. They actually made a first person game that I want to.
Yeah, it's not so much of a shooter. Yeah.
It's not so much of a shooter. It's definitely more of an adventure title. It is an actual, for the most part of the game, you're just solving puzzles. Yes, you can beat you can still shoot up everybody like an issue. But like the way the game even is, it's weird to say, but it's more of a fighting game. Like the way you fight, you have your right arm, you just like beat the shit out of everybody. And the only time anybody pulls out a gun is when you pull out a gun.
Yeah, that's like, right. Yeah.
Well, I'm like, is that like rules of engagement?
Yeah.
You know, like where in other words, you have in order for them to shoot at you first.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So other than like you could literally just run, if you're run into the middle of a camp and punch the hell out of
everybody. That's what I did.
Chris, they have that fucking punch. He punches with like,
oh, that's great. That noise is epic.
You know what gives the dogs? They got dogs, though. The dogs.
They got dogs.
You can't kill the dogs, but
no. You could just crack the whip and they get scared.
You down them. Yeah, they get scared, but they still attack you. They'll bite you. They'll maul you to death. They're not scared of that.
No, they're not.
So what do you want?
No, the music. Is it some John Williams stuff, or is John Williams?
It's not John Williams. Definitely feel.
Yeah, like, they did a good job with the music.
Like it definitely feels like they're not they're reusing certain, but like a lot of the new, they actually fit all the, even like the, you know, some of the, they have a little sneaky music, and then, you know, when certain things happen, like there's a little fun little like music sting. Like if you find like a secret thing, it goes, you know, there's all that sort of like stuff like you would expect from. Funny, my friend was, you know, it's kind of like in, you're playing the Indiana in the cuts. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like it's like, okay, he walked to the other side. He had a meeting and then he walked all the way to the, you know, and then the next scene is he's at by the, this is like, how did he get to the Sphinx? Well, he beat the shit out of a bunch of Nazis.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's definitely cool. Definitely.
All right. Carlos, you want to tell us anything more about Expedition 33?
No. I pretty much said what I feel about the game. Can't wait to play more.
Good stuff. Brian, what have you been playing lately?
The usual. Just Monster Hunter.
There you go.
So, just get me.
Is Ray Dao available yet? The tempered one?
Oh yeah, he is available. So this weekend.
Yes. Yeah, we're gonna get back into it. I'll be there. Yeah, we're getting back in there. That'll be for maybe tomorrow night and the night after that. All right. Chris, what have you been playing lately?
Oh, when I get a little time to play anything, I just enjoying the Pacific Drive expansion. It because I could just get in and out very easily.
Nice. Makes sense. You know. All right. Rich, what have you been playing that you're allowed to talk about?
So, definitely Expedition 33 still.
You got cut off, Rich. Can you repeat that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I don't know what happened. Uh-oh.
I thought they got you. I thought Microsoft got you.
Yeah, Microsoft for sure.
Yeah, you said Expedition 33. That's the last thing we heard.
Yeah, so Expedition 33, I did go back to WWE 2K25. because there have been a few returns to, you know, the main roster. So clearly I wanted to update my universe mode and try out some stuff in there. So enjoying that.
I gotta get the What's the Status to Aleister Black. That reminds you, I'll probably do that this weekend.
Yeah, that, I do recommend that. And outside of that, well, some other stuff that I will be playing soon that I obviously can't talk about, but I can talk about it in the future. So stay tuned.
Yep, pretty much. I'm definitely expecting a game very soon that we'll talk about. But yeah, I've been playing the Capcom Fighting Collection. And again, it's weird because like I'm allowed to talk about six out of the eight games. I'm like, why can't I just talk about all of them? But you know, it is what it is. Yeah, the main one I've been focusing on this week has been Capcom versus SNK1. Again, beautiful game. Love the presentation. You know, the sprites, the backgrounds are really cool. And I like the, because in the game you could either play in Capcom style or SNK style. But what's fun is if you select Capcom style, all the characters are drawn in Capcom style. And if you pick SNK, all the characters are in SNK art style. You know, so it's like regardless of where they're from. So that's really cool. And then I learned this crazy. Apparently in this game, I don't know about the second one, but in this game, if you see an SNK character drawn in a Capcom style, that's, it's actually not a Capcom artist. It's an SNK artist mimicking a Capcom artist and vice versa. Like, that's kind of interesting. Like, that's why it explains why some of the drawings look close, but not close enough, you know? And I also really like the music in the game. It definitely has, because the whole vibe of the game is like, oh, this is the new millennium. And it has that kind of electronic slash sci-fi feel to it. And it fits this game pretty well, but better than the music from, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Like, what the fuck? So I really enjoy that. And just playing the game, even though I never played this one originally, it takes me back to that old Dreamcast era, you know, like these are the type of games I ran on it, and it's all Naomi, obviously. I'm about to talk about Power. Yeah, Plasma Sword. I played some of that very sci-fi game as well. Really fun. I could talk about probably Justice. That's a really cool game. Very Japanese game. Like, they were not making that game for a Western audience. It's just everybody has names you can't pronounce. I like the artwork in between. Kind of reminds me of, because it's probably the same artist, the Phoenix Wright games. Really good stuff. Oh, I could talk about Power Stone 2. I still don't like it. I didn't like it back then. I don't like it now. Game is too fucking chaotic. Do not like it, you know? Ironically enough, Power Stone 1 is one of the games I can't talk about. But I liked it before, so I suspect I'll like it again. Wink, wink, you know? I can't talk about Capcom Fighting Evolution. Let's just, we'll talk about that later on, you know? But yeah, I will be taking a break from that because I'm expecting another game that I can't talk about to drive soon, but we'll tell you guys about it next week. It's going to be good stuff. And that's going to do it for us, man. Another week in the books here. So let's start plugging some stuff. Manny, you got anything?
Yep, out in the streets right now is Power Company of Artists, Car Ranch, and a bunch of other. It's out on the app.
Hey. Yeah. Right. Adam, what's going on with the TV terminal?
We're still covering The Last of Us. That's still going. And you know what? And I was waiting. I was like, you know what? I'm curious to see the numbers just in general. I mean, we don't get it from HBO just because, you know, it's a big death. Usually after a big death, people flip out and cancel the show. Stop watching. I hate that you killed me, blah, 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 blah. But we don't know. But at least according to the numbers that I have, it actually went up from a lot of platforms. People still tuning in. I guess they still care about the show and Ellie as a character because it's all going to be about her going forward.
That's it.
But anyway, doing that. Mobland still going with that. That's a great show with Tom Hardy. And then we're getting ready for Murderbot. That's the next one. But yeah, we got content coming up on that and some other projects that I'll talk about. Some stuff that are coming up with Richard Bailey Jr. So yeah, we got all kinds of goodies. So yeah, the TV terminal on the YouTube.
Good stuff. Right. And Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this weekend?
So this weekend is the return of the I Am Negan podcast.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Finally.
Yes. Oof. Finally. Sunday night will be the premiere of season 2 of Dead City. So myself, Adam Vail, and Carlos Romero, we will have our review up at that time. So definitely check that out if you are a Walking Dead fan, and you can hear what we think about this so far. And that will continue throughout the weeks ahead, because I believe it's about 8 episodes the entire season. 6 or 8, one of those.
Man, you know what, Rich? What we didn't bring up in the last recording, there's going to be some comparison with The Last of Us, because they're both on at the same time. And people will be like, well, which is the better zombie type show? Well, we already know which one that is.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, you're 100% right. There will be comparisons. So looking forward to seeing what happens with that. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, myself, Gary Swaby, and Dana, we are going to be reviewing Power, because that also returns tomorrow. So if you are a Power fan, check that out on the website as well as the YouTube. We're also doing a little coverage for this show called BMF. We will see whether or not we continue doing coverage. Obviously, I want to see if people respond to what because we did a trailer reaction for that show earlier today. So check that out. And on the gaming side, yes, there is a lot of things coming, a lot of things being worked on. What I can say is, I think I've already announced this, I am going to Summer Game Fest in June, and I've already started getting a lot of very interesting things
nice.
From that event. So just stay tuned for that in the future. I will definitely talk about that extensively on here. But yeah, there is a lot of content coming to the website on the gaming side starting Monday, I would say, and just continuing throughout. So stay tuned.
Oh, hell yeah. That's awesome.
All right. In 2 weeks, we got the Division stuff.
Oh,
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, yeah. That's the 12th, May 12th.
Oh, shit. That's close.
Oh.
Yeah. Before we go, I just saw this on Twitter. Expedition 33's incredible soundtrack was composed by a guy who posted his music on SoundCloud.
Hey, is that the first member?
That's how you say money, bro. That's how you say money. You know? So shout out to them, man. You know, but
Hotline Miami has one of the best soundtracks, and people are like, oh, what's all this music? SoundCloud.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, it says Lorian Testard, that's the guy's name, was discovered by Claire Obscure's game director after posting his SoundCloud tracks to a gaming forum. It's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, you know? Again, that's how you save money. You don't have to pay for Bear McCreary all the time. you know, shout out to Bear McCreary. Go, that guy's awesome.
He's gonna be up in New York. Coming this the 26th.
Not only that, does he make good music, but his name is Bear. I respect that. You know, it's like a guy called himself Lion or something.
How does he spell it? Is it B A R E B E A R?
Yeah, B-E-A-R, like the animal. Yeah, like the animal.
Okay, like the animal.
Imagine a guy called himself like Lion or something. You know,
that'd be crazy. There's a guy named Thundercat who's out there.
There you go. Yeah, this is my dude Grizzly. You know, like wait, that's his legal name.
Lionel Richie.
Yeah, Lionel. You know.
Mm-hmm. It seems like that's the only bear 100 men can take down.
That's, you know, yo, those memes are crazy, man. All right, guys, we're out of here. So make sure you follow Throw It Out on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe to us on the YouTubes. Check us out in Discord. The conversations are always crazy in there. Shout out to the crew in there for always keeping things lively. You guys had a lot of good stuff to say about the Xbox. So shout out to you guys. And you could also find us on your favorite podcast app. We're on SoundCloud, bro. Actually, we're not on SoundCloud anymore. Well, old episodes are.
No, we're still on SoundCloud.
The old ones, not the new ones.
Check the numbers? Like, because they're all broken up, and this is something that I noticed. Do you check to see? Because it's crazy when you really look. Because you
really.
Think, oh, it's all. You need to look. You need to look. We're off air. Yeah. I'm going to tell you some crazy shit that I saw. You need to look.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm like, numbers, whatever. I'm not making money off this shit, so I don't care.
But that's what I'm saying. You could be based off the numbers. You don't notice.
Yeah. Now you threw me off. Oh, Spotify, fucking, we're on Samsung. Like, we're all over the place, bro. And Adam's going to tell me, you know, all these numbers. But the thing is, like, what are you going to tell me? No, you know, we'll talk off here. Anyway, links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
He's out.
Adam Vail.
Let's go Knicks. We're going to take the Celtics down.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Majoma.
Rest in peace to my boy, Sack.
I don't know who Sack is.
Oh, no. Yeah, but RIP, Sack. RIP to your boy, Sack.
Yeah.
I'll miss him.
RIP to him.
Sack boy.
Sack boy.
You got to say the last part then. You got to go boy. We don't know Sack.
Yeah, no, but that's a joke.
That's a
boy Sack.
Boy Sack.
Yeah.
Sack boy.
Yeah,
okay, I think of my own little boy Sack. Oh.
No, that's what she said. Well, actually, if she said that, you don't want to mess with that.
Yeah.
Get that trash out of here.
That's for Jim Norton right there, man. all right, guys. We'll see you on Sunday. Later.